You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pelt. And I'm telling you why. The Cincinnati Reds are coming to town. They used to be a good team back in about 2013. But then Johnny Cueto dropped the ball and they've been terrible ever since. Not a rhyme. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Bones, the Cincinnati Reds are coming to town. I'm hyped.
I'm always so taken aback by how musical you get on this show. You're not musical in any other part of life.
I am in privacy. I'm musical, but this is my my medium for expression.
They are coming to town. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, this is the weirdest cold open we've ever done. That's Cincinnati Reds. The Jays just won a series over the Mariners. We're going to talk about all of that, and we're going to play another game. It's Locked On Blue Jays. It starts right now.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Blue Jays, your Thursday episode. He's Matt Bonaparte. I'm Ben Stolman. Thanks so much for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts and on Twitter at Locked On Jays. We are recording in the aftermath of a 5-1 loss for the Jays. Could be worse, but we won't talk about my other job right now. But the Jays lose 5-1. They still win the series 2-1. So it's kind of one of those weird days where, like, you're not happy, but you can't be all that mad at the same time. And it's time for us to do our series recap. Before we get into that, though, Bones, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I mean, it was a bad game. Like, at no point was I at all excited. Just one of those baseball games. 5-1 is like a classic boring baseball game score.
Yeah, it's, you know, game 38.
Yeah. Yeah, this is what it is. You're going to live through it, and you're going to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm doing good as well. I'm a little sick, so if you guys hear me... If you guys hear me voice crack or sound sad on this episode, it's just that my voice isn't
get hyped,
right,
Ben.
Now.
Move yeah, that getting... sadness and sickness away.
We're getting it away, one decongestant pill at a time. But that's gross. Let's talk about the actual baseball. The Jays win the series 2-1 over the Seattle Mariners, their first series win in a while. We are here to recap it. And we will start with our storylines of the series. Bones, I kick it to you.
Okay. Storyline of the series for me is that the Jays finally did their jobs, but it's still unsatisfactory in my eyes. This offense, and we harp about it a lot, and we kind of try not to get redundant on it, but
yeah,
they have
hard.
Not scored double digits since game one. I mean, I know you don't have to score double digits to win games, but it would be nice if you could just score double digits like a couple times and have one of those games where it's 11-1 and at no point do you have to worry about anything. It would be nice. It would be nice. Listen, they scored 6 runs in the first game. They scored 3 in the second. They score 1 today. It's all fine. I mean, today you need more than one, of course. But if Barrios didn't put in the load, the crazy workload he did yesterday, they don't win that game. And game one, Kikuchi pitches a gem, so you get a little bit of a blessing there. But I'm not happy, Ben. I'm not happy with this offense. I need them to start being as good as everybody told me they were going to be.
It's fair. They did get a 6 spot in game one, but that,
I don't care. I
want
an 11 spot. I want a 16 spot.
Yeah. So I'll even say, if you want to even temper expectations beyond double digits, since that opening game versus Texas, they've only scored 7 runs even. Touchdowns were
in a loss.
Three times they've done it. They've lost 2 of the 3. they beat Cleveland 8-3. They lost 11-7 to Houston, and they lost 8-7 to Houston in extra innings. Yeah, I guess, you know, kind of the same thing. I will say a little bit of calm for me. Like, do I want them to play better? Yes. But is winning series important in the major leagues in any way possible? Yes. So for me, I still think one of the big storylines is that the ship is somewhat righted. Am I totally confident in them? No, but like, you win 2 out of 3, I'll take it.
Here's my thing, though. Like, yes, I like that they won the series, of course. But at no point was it, like, so convincing. Like, I don't... If you play the series 10 times, I don't know how many times the Jays win it. I think it's probably relatively even. And if you're going to go and try and overtake the Yankees or the Rays in this division, you're not good enough right now. Like, something needs to change. Somebody, like, this team, the offense needs to get better. The pitching is fine, but the hits need to come in more timely situations, more home runs. I mean, it's honestly not too, it's pretty elementary here, Watson. You just got to score more runs.
No, it's fair. That's totally fair. They need to score more runs. They cannot continue to put their pitchers under this much stress. The one thing I will say, and this is me being the most absolute optimist, so if you, like, poo-poo me away, that's totally
I'm going to poo-poo you.
Thank you. The Jays have not played good baseball through 38 games. I just don't believe they've played very well. If you watch it, it has not been great.
I believe that.
To play at what really I think is about their lousiest and be over 500 gives me, like, a little bit of weird confidence.
Nope.
You know?
Not at all. 0%.
I know you're disagreeing with me. But, like, teams go through runs. And if this is the worst they play all year, then that's kind of fine. Nope. You know, well, like, the Yankees last year played, like, 500 ball for, like, 90 games.
Yeah, and I had zero confidence in them when it came to that.
And then they won And then they won 92 games, though. And, like, I know that for them that was a bad year, but for the Jays, making the playoffs would be a pretty sick year. So it's not great, but I'm still somewhat pleased that at least they've, you know, you could be the White Sox. Like, look what the White Sox are doing. That's going to be a tough hole to climb out of. The Jays are still occupying a playoff spot right now.
Well,
it's 38 games in.
Well, I believe what you're saying has merit. I'm less in the business of being like, it could be worse than being
that's
like,
fair.
I wish they were dominant. And when I wish instead of being 20-18 right now, they were 29 and whatever.
It's fair. It's a valid point. And with their aspirations, you're probably leaning more toward what most of the fans are feeling. We've harped enough on the offense and all that stuff, though. Let's get a little positive. Who's your series MVP, or what's your series MVP?
My series MVP is going to point to a man named Jose Berríos, who had to just put in every ounce of effort he had in order to win Game 2. The offense gave him 3 runs in the second inning and nothing afterwards. And he said, all right, I'm not going to necessarily pitch the greatest game of my life in terms of flashy numbers, but I'm not going to let them touch the plate. And that's exactly what he did. 7 innings, 6 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks, and of course, 0 earned. Jose Berríos willed this team to a victory. If you've got guys like that on your rotation, it is pretty much invaluable, because at any given point, if the team is slumping, you have 4 losses in a row or something, any given pitcher on that staff, and Berríos, of course, being one of them at the top of it, can just come in, put it in a performance like this, and inspire the rest of the rotation, the rest of the lineup, and get them going. So to have a guy like Berríos that is capable of doing that, and other guys on this team, like we went through yesterday, we don't even think Berríos is the best player on this rotation, it's just crazily valuable. So Berríos is my
guy. Beats the ace of the other team, too, in Gilbert, so that's huge. Slump-busting start from Berríos. I'm going to go to the back end. Obviously, the Jordan Romano gastrointestinal infection news has kind of circulated Twitter at this point, and he was not there. Adam Simber slotting in with no Meza and no Romano. So Adam Simber slotting in and picking up the 2 saves needed in the first 2 games. The Monday game, too, I mean, he was not supposed to come in. That game just got a little bit hairy at the last second there. So he came in there, then bounces back and gets another save on Tuesday. Just huge to get good fill-in performances from him. You don't see a ton of sidearm closers. He's not really built as a build as a closer. But he did his job and picked up his second and third saves of the year.
And, of course, in a bullpen that is way overtaxed and at times just blatantly overworked. So Simber absolutely came in and did a job that maybe he wasn't thinking he'd have to do coming into the year. So big ups to the boy.
Speaking of overtaxed and overworked, after 11 straight wins to start the He Was a Blue Jay season, Matt Bones has lost 2 out of 3. Get back on the winning ways? I'm sorry, that was kind of mean to me. I felt bad when I said it.
Yeah.
Does he get back on the winning ways when we come back? Well, you're just going to have to find out. Stick with us on Locked On Blue Jays. Look, Matty Bones, I think you can tell from my physique, maybe even from everyone's physique, including, you know, mine, Locked On Syracuse host Brad Klein's, we love brownies. But you know what I love more than brownies? scooping brownie batter with my bare fingers while I watch movies from the early 2000s. Sometimes I eat half the batter while I'm eating brownies, feel bad about it, and don't even make the brownies at all. But you know what I should be doing instead of that sad boy behavior? I should be eating brownie batter Built Puffs from Built Bar. They're only 140 calories. They're 17 grams of protein, only 7 grams of sugar. They're the perfect pick-me-up for any day, not the put-me-down that Brad and I have when we're elbow deep in brownie batter. Look, the brownie batter puffs will have you completely forgetting that you're eating a protein bar. No need to pinch yourself. This is real life. Go to built.com and use our promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order and get the brownie batter puffs now. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Locked On Blue Jays continues. We thank you for making it your first listen. For your next listen after this, you can check out the Locked On Now podcast. Recaps of MLB games with analysis from our local experts, taking fans through the season like no other network, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. It's time for He Was a Blue Jay. Bones is 12-2 on the year, which is real good, but he's coming off a loss. Missed Kevin Cash last time.
That was a tough one.
My dad played along with it. It was a tough one.
Did he get it?
He texted me. He told me he got it on the fifth one when I said, wow, sworn enemy. That's when he figured it out. But to be fair, he broadcast for that literal team and didn't get it until the fifth hit.
I will say the thing I'm most proud of is when we saw him this past weekend and he told me that I've done better on all of them than he has. I was very proud of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you've been very impressive so far.
Thanks,
you
man.
Are on a little bit of a skid. 2 out of 3 losses. I'm going to do a Locked On Blue Jays unprecedented move. There are still Season 1 guys that I haven't used. Not all of them are super easy. Some of them I haven't used because they're super easy, but not all of them. There are also Season 2 guys. Would you like a Season 1 or a Season 2?
Ooh. I'm going to stick with the new school. Let's go Season 2.
Season 2. I like it. You're kind of embracing the challenge.
Yeah.
Not Bones typing. I'm typing to get the baseball reference page, which I always forget to bring up at the start. All right. For those who do not know the game, it's a Blue Jay. It's a niche Blue Jay. He's only played for the Jays for a short period of time, or at least you wouldn't remember him as a Jay. I give 5 hints pertaining to his career. Some of them relate to his Blue Jays career. Some of them not. Bones gets about 30 seconds or 3 guesses in between each hint I give. And at the end, if he can get it in 5 hints, he is a winner. If he cannot and he taps out after the fifth, he is a loser. And his 12-2 record is on the line. Bones, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do it. Just for example, for those who haven't listened, some of our previous guys, by the way, guys like Kevin Millar, Phil Niekro, David Cohn, Jack Morris, Curtis Granderson, Darwin Barney, that was a miss, and Daniel Vogelbach. All right, hit number 1. This outfielder broke into the majors with the Jays on September 1st, 2002, with a 2-for-4 game versus the Yankees.
2002 is so tough, dude.
It's the second straight early 2000s guy I've given you, which I apologize for.
It's okay. Michael Bourne.
Not Michael Bourne. That would be cool. I don't think he was ever a Blue Jay.
Okay.
If he was, I'm going to write that one down and give it to you in, like, August.
Mike Cameron.
Not Mike Cameron, but I like you coming out of the gate hot with guesses.
Milton Bradley.
Not Milton Bradley. We move on to hit number 2. He was a one-time All-Star, but not with the Blue Jays.
Nate McClouth.
Not Nate McClouth. Was he an All-Star?
Yep, 2008 or 9 with the Pirates.
Cool.
One-time All-Star, Eric Hinsky.
Not Eric Hinsky.
I don't even think Eric Hinsky was an All-Star. This is tough. You know, this game is hard because the first couple of guesses, I only think of guys who were obviously Blue Jays. Like, Michael Saunders just came to my head, but what
obviously
else is Michael Saunders?
He was an All-Star as a Blue Jay, actually.
Yeah, that's why I thought of him. I don't know.
He had one of the best first halves and worst second halves of all time.
He killed the Yankees, dude.
Yeah, well, not that many other teams. all right, here's hit number 3. This is, I did some career paths, but I found that to be a little easy. So this is a divisional career path, all right?
Okay.
We'll see how much this helps you. It goes AL East, which is, you know,
the Blue Jays.
I'll give you that one. NL West, NL East, and then NL East team again.
Scott Podsednik.
No, but he's been guest in so many episodes. I love. Yeah, him.
I don't even think he was a Blue Jay though.
I don't think he was either.
I just like saying his name.
Wasn't he a White Sox too?
Speaking of Alejandro de Haza,
not Alejandro de Haza. Again, did not say AL Central at any point in this.
True. I just again a guy I love saying the name of.
You got White Sox. So just give me a Carlos Quinton while you're there.
so you said, AL East, NL West,
NL East, and then NL East again.
So back to NL East. Let's finish it. I'm gonna just hope one of those is the Mets. This is tough. I don't know. You got to move on. Next hint.
All right. His baseball reference picture displays him with short hair and somewhat of a soul patch, but I'd bet you remember him looking significantly more wild than that.
What? What? That's an absurd hint.
It'll make sense when you hear the guy.
That's insane. I don't want to hear the guy. I need to learn the guy.
I'm not telling you. He's a grizzly man. That's what I'll say. He's kind of a grizzly man. That's what I mean by wild.
Johnny Damon. Nick not Johnny Swisher. Damon. I'm just throwing out guys who are grizzly. I know it's not them. Who is a grizzly guy?
I won't count those as guesses, by the way.
Justin.
For those trying to follow along with us, by the way, while Bones is thinking, outfielder broke into the majors with the Jays September 1st, 2002. Went 2-for-4 against the Yankees grizzly. That day. Not a hint, but I helped it out. He was a one-time All-Star, not with the Blue Jays. Divisional career path goes AL East, NL West,
Corey
NL East,
Hart.
NL East again. Not Corey Hart. Great guess.
NL Central.
And then number four, although his baseball reference picture displays him with short hair and kind of a soul patch or chin strap.
Jason Worth.
You are correct, Mr. Bones.
Let's go!
Congratulations. Congratulations. The fifth hint, just in case you were wondering, which I think would have helped, because it would have contextualized which team he played for. He had a 3-year stretch where he went to the championship series or better each year, but then never went that deep after. So, by the way, the divisional career path too: Toronto, Dodgers, Phillies, Nats.
He was a Blue Jay?
Yeah, crazy Blue Jay. Crazy Blue Jay. Him and Kevin Cash on the same team. When I saw that, I was like, what? Also, like, I know Jason Worth looked like his baseball reference picture, but only for a little bit. If you Google him, it's like his first year in Philly. And
I will say, like, picturing that as a guy who, like, spent his time bored in class, like, on baseball reference, like, that actually helped.
Yeah. See, you said what kind of hint was it, and then all of a sudden,
that actually helped.
Who's a grizzly man? Also, Jason Worth, an All-Star in 2009 when he had, like, a pretty good year. In 2013, and obviously it's all about how good your first half is, not your year. In 2013, he had .318 with a .931 OPS. Just did not make the All-Star team.
He was a great player. Like, a one-time really good player. Kind of criminal for him. He was fantastic.
No, you go look at his numbers. He has a top 10 MVP finish where he leads the league in doubles, and he's not an All-Star.
He was really a fantastic player.
Just crazy. Yeah. But I also watched him right at the end of his Phillies. Or was it? No, it was probably late Nat's career. And the crowd was chanting "Worthless" at him, which is tough. Yeah, but you know what, Jason Worth, he was a Blue Jay. Don't even have to ask you for the catchphrase because I got a genuine "He was a Blue Jay" out of you. 2002 and 2003, 41 total games, but also not drafted by the Blue Jays, drafted by the Orioles. Weird career path for him, underrated.
Yeah, he has that great picture where he's got the glasses on.
Oh yeah. All right. Well, that's all I got. It's, oh my gosh. That's today's answer was Jason Richard Gowan Worth. That's his full name. We are going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we got more on Locked On Blue Jays. Some scaries.
Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. Maybe you want to place down a bet on the Jays. I don't know if you're feeling all that confident after today's 5-1 loss, but hey, anything can happen in baseball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. The last stop here on Locked On Blue Jays, Matt Bonaparte and Ben Shulman back with you. I just absolutely banged the guess of Jason Wirth, and he was a Blue Jay. Got myself back in the win column, which is massive for me. Now it's time to do some Thursday scaries. The Blue Jays are taking on the Cincinnati Reds, as you previously heard Ben's musical rendition of Frosty the Snowman. Or what was it? What did you sing?
I'm out of my domain here, but it was Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Yeah, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Cincinnati Reds are coming to town. They are the next series for the Blue Jays, which is exciting for Blue Jays fans. Although, I will say, the Reds have strung together a few wins as of late, so that's kind of wild.
Yeah, I think they're 6-4 in their last 10,
which is like 100-0 for any other team.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, so crazy. They got to be happy about that in Cincinnati Reds land. Maybe Jeff Carr will say something about it. All right, Ben, why don't you start off and give your Thursday scary?
So I will say that, you know, this team is not providing very much spooky. I asked for something spooky, and there's very little that you should be afraid of on the Cincinnati Reds roster, because even with their hot streak of winning 6 of 10 games, they stink. They're the worst baseball team I've ever seen, potentially. And the Orioles play in this division every year. But my scary hits near and dear to the heart of not just you or me. It hits near and dear to the heart of many of our friends back at Syracuse University as well, and many in the New York area. It's that guy, Brandon Drury. He's been good this year. They haven't, but I can't deny that this guy is kind of raking. He's only starting for the fourth year in his career. He started 2 years in Arizona. He started 18 games with the Yankees before he got hurt. Then Miguel Andujar took his job. He started 1 year for the Jays until he got hurt. And then Vladimir Guerrero Jr. took his job. And then he, you know, was a Met for a little bit. But he's starting for the first time in 5 years. And he's got an 842 OPS, highest of his career, 127 OPS plus, highest of his career, 7 homers and 22 RBIs in 31 games. Like 22 RBIs, there are not that many ducks on the pond. And he is finding a way to knock in guys when he needs to. So if someone's going to go a little bit nuts, you know, the team he has played the second most games with in his career is the Toronto Blue Jays. Is this a revenge series for Brandon Drury? With the Jays, if the Jays win all those games, I'd kind of be happy to still see him have a revenge series, because I love that guy, and he's having a good year, and I'm happy for him.
Syracuse Met legend, Drury. So you were spot on with that. I like that pick from you. That you didn't tell it to me prior just because you wanted my live reaction, and you got it.
Yeah, because Brandon Drury is awesome.
He is. He hits the hearts of every Yankees, Met, Blue Jay fan, and Diamondbacks, if you want to throw them in too.
Just got put in tough spots, you know. Could have worked out another situation.
He was good for a year in Arizona, so you got to give him that at least.
Yeah.
I was excited when the Yankees got him, and then, you know, he got hurt and the whole thing. All right, my Sunday scary, and get ready for your hype train after this, Ben, because I'm coming right back to you. Okay. My Sunday scary is going to be the one and only Hunter Green, who is the first pitcher since 2008's Jared Weaver to throw a no-hitter and lose the game. Jared Weaver did it against the Dodgers back in 08, and Green did it in 118 pitches against the Pirates on May 15th. If that's not the most 2022 Reds thing ever, I don't really know what is, but the only thing you got to know is that Hunter Green, despite his 6.21 ERA and otherwise not great numbers other than his strikeout numbers, the guy's nasty. I mean, he's absolutely nasty. He throws 100 Gross. Miles an hour, 103 miles an hour, in fact, and he has a crazy good slider. Does everybody expect this to be a series win and probably a sweep for the Jays? Yeah, of course they do, because it's the Cincinnati freaking Reds. But if anybody's going to steal a game from Toronto in this series, it's going to be Hunter Green in the finale in that third game, because the guy can flat-out pitch. So I think that Jays fans should be, one, excited to watch Hunter Green pitch just because he's exciting to watch, and he strikes out a lot of batters. Hopefully it's one of those starts where he also gives up a bunch of runs like he did against Milwaukee a couple starts ago, where he struck out 7 but gave up 8. But if it's not, you should also be a little weary that he could definitely steal a game in this series.
Yeah, I mean, he's like if they put Chapman in the rotation when they first brought him up. Yeah. He is absolutely ridiculous. Speaking of Chapman, time for my hype train. As you know, I'm such a good, what is it, prophet, considering I picked Lourdes Gurriel to hit a home run today, and he left the game injured. So I was going to pick Vlad Guerrero Jr. as my hype train. By the way, I hope Lourdes is okay. But Vladdy's on a hit streak, and I don't want to ruin that. So instead, I'm going to pick a guy who honestly like had a sneaky like fine series. It's still not great, but he's getting there. And he had another hit today. He scored a run in all three games. He's been important to the offense. It's Matt Chapman. And I think Matt Chapman has been walking enough, and when he hits the ball, he's been hitting for enough power. He's lacking contact. What a good series to get that back on than the Cincinnati Reds. Come in and just get your hits where you need them. I like Matt Chapman to pick up at least three hits in this three-game series, if not more. I really think he's going to get four or more hits, but I'll say at least three hits for Matt Chapman in this series. He's my hype train.
And, dude, he needs them. I mean, this dude, yeah, he's got to start hitting the ball. I mean, a 183 batting average coming into today. Come on, Matt. I know you're supposed to be the defense guy, but you can't just be the defense guy. Even Brooks Robinson could hit. All right, I like that pick from you. I'm going to pick his left side of the infield buddy because he's also struggling. Bo Bichette is my pick. I'll take the best hair. Probably, I think you could make an argument for the MLB.
He's got a shot.
He's got incredible hair. I mean, I know that's probably I'm probably forgetting about people, and it's like a large sweeping claim, but Bo Bichette's got great hair. He's also got a great bat a lot of the time, and something the Sportsnet broadcast was highlighting was how much of a grinder he is and how much of just a dog he is and how much of a hard worker he is. So I think Bo is probably the first to tell you he stinks right now. He's got a 654 OPS. He's not hitting the ball all that well. He's not getting on base, and he wants to change that, and he gets to the park every day with that in mind. So I like Bo to go off against a team that isn't all that good and try and find his footing a little bit. So Bo Bichette, my hype train. Ben and I with some unorthodox picks in, Thursday Scaries. He goes Brandon Drury, I go Hunter Green. Should be a fun series nonetheless. Thank you for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. We'll be back tomorrow with our last podcast of the work week, and then we'll see you right back on Monday to recap everything Blue Jays. Now make your second listen, Locked On MLB, with our boy Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call him Sullivan.
PFS!
He brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues past and present. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts.